Welcome to Two Bald Men Fighting Over a Comb, a podcast in which two follically challenged ne'er-do-wells venture to the fountain of knowledge and wash their smalls. I'm the artist formerly known as Tom, and I'm joined by Rob.
Interestingly, my name's not pronounced how you spell it. It's actually spelled with a silent TH at the front of it.
I know that. Now everyone else does. So, what's been tickling your grey cells of late?
Well, the last week they launched Threads, which is a new social media platform, which is by Meta, the people who do Facebook and Instagram. And it just got me thinking in terms of access to like social media, the messages that you can put out on social media. And I wondered whether there should be some form of like psychological test or something to, not necessarily to stop you from using them, but almost like in your bio, it contains certain things that says, you know, this person is gullible. You know, just paraphrasing. Or, you know, this person is very argumentative. You know, this person is like a narcissist or something or other. You don't necessarily see what it is. So that gives people a flavour. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, people who are used to arguing are good at arguing and they're not very rational. And that's why I come unstuck if I ever have a discussion or, you know, if I bump into someone and they start having an argument with me, it's like, hang on, that's really irrational. I'm trying to be rational. And it's like, it doesn't matter. And it's never happened, touch wood. But where does touch wood come from? Anyway. On the back of that, just as I said, about people being able to post anything that they want. And then it just started making me think about like conspiracy theories and how, particularly like during COVID, there seemed to be a hell of a lot of these conspiracy theories kind of going around. I mean, for example, like the 5G masks, people saying that 5G gives you cancer, it gives you COVID. They even saying that the COVID vaccine had a micro 5G chip in it, and it was all the way up to like monitoring and stuff. I mean, the thing is, like, they rolled it out to all these old people first and the vulnerable, and they're all staying at home. So, what are they going to gain from that? All right, yeah, we know that all these people are staying at home, and there's these protests.
You know what old people are like as well. They might have a microchip in them, but they weren't know how to use it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so what? And they
won't turn it on.
Or they leave it on, or it just completely messes up, or you know, it breaks the internet or the masts or what have you. But no, I mean, the COVID vaccine, you had those people saying like, oh, they went on marches saying like, I don't want to have it. It's like, well, you don't have to, it's voluntary. You know, so what's that all about? But they were trying to force their opinions. And I guess from, you know, the social media aspect, it gave them quite a prominent voice. If you were to search, you know, do a term for COVID. But I mean, there are a number of conspiracy theories that I quickly looked at, which I'll give you a list of like some of the ones just to give you an idea of what I was thinking in terms of why I think social media should have these psychological tests to them. Is there's the first one, like Disney, they created the film Frozen to ruin the Google algorithms because of Walt Disney. There's that rumor going around that his head is cryogenically frozen, and so they created the film basically so that when people said Walt Disney Frozen, it was like, boom, the film would come up, as opposed to all this research they wanted to try to, you know, quash that link to the story. The other one, an old one, is obviously the world is flat. That's been, you know, since the beginning of time, probably. Predates the internet, obviously. You've got fake moon landings. We're all living in the Matrix, you know. There's glitches and bits and, you know.
Red or blue pills.
Well, exactly. You can take the blue pill and you'll, you know, whatever it is, the red pill, you wake up tomorrow with a sore ass. The moon isn't real, where people believe it's like a big projection, you know. Strange. The Titanic didn't actually sink, which, you know, it takes a lot of people to almost convince to maintain that lie. And then chemtrails, so aeroplane exhausts, they are filled with chemicals. even though if you disperse something at that altitude, by the time it was to reach us humans on the ground, it would have all been thinned out from natural air. And the final one is Paul McCartney's Dead, which obviously that goes back to like 1966. That was from an American DJ who thought that Paul McCartney had died in a car crash, and then that was contained in the lyrics to A Day in the Life about, you know, he blew his mind out in a car, and that they replaced Paul McCartney with somebody who won a Paul McCartney lookalike competition. And then, oh, there's loads, like the fact that on the Abbey Road cover, Paul McCartney's not wearing shoes.
I think with all these conspiracies, they don't hold up when they're closely examined, do they?
Well, that's how people interpret them, isn't it? So when you say closely examined, but it's about, right, from a rational point of view, you look at them and you go, actually, do you know what, it's ridiculous. But somebody else will look at it and go, do you know what, I believe in that. Or the government, you know, it's like, oh, they're influencing us through this, that, and the other. There's only, you know, there's like, you know, the Illuminati and all those.
They're quite simplistic arguments, and they sort of work with coincidences and sort of snapshots of the overall context that seem very convincing to people. So, you know, the people who don't necessarily look into things with any great depth are quite willing to take them at face value. And with social media having a lack of gatekeeping, it's easier for those ideas to proliferate, isn't it? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. But there's that thing of, is there a responsibility by these social medias that when you got, you know, when they've got people spraying? I know they used to have these things, little warning things saying like, oh, you know, click here. I'm using COVID as an example. Mm. You know, click here to understand, you know, from the NHS or, you know, from the government. But then people are like, well, it's the government website, isn't it? Of course they're going to tell us this. And so it's almost like they have that paranoia, they have that kind of intrinsic feeling of, well, anything that is out there, or, you know, that's fake news. And similar to, I guess, with Brexit, where people were convinced that as the best thing. There was a research done post-Brexit after the, you know, the votes and everything, that they were able to understand that people who voted Brexit, even if you were to present them all the information that said how Brexit is bad now in real examples, they still wouldn't be convinced, because it's like, no, I'm not changing my mind. And so it's very difficult to change someone's opinion, no matter how much information you give them. So it's almost that thing of trying to get, well, are they predisposed to believing those type of things? Mm-hmm. Or is it the fact that something bad has happened, or they just have, you know, I mean, I'm using COVID again as an example, where everyone is locked in, their mental health deteriorating and stuff like that. And so they're seeing examples or ways to kind of rebel against the thing that is imposing this, you know, isolation. So I don't know.
I think looking at conspiracy theories as this big threat and something to, you know, the proliferation, something to be scared of, is not the way to fight them. You know, to try and argue, like you say, to try and argue rationally against them. I think for me, the best way of fighting back against these conspiracy theories is to laugh at them.
Are you ill, Tom? Have you had a vaccine?
Yes, well, maybe I need one.
It's killing you.
But I think a good demonstration of it is people who come up with spoof conspiracy theories. Although some of these people start believing them as if they're real. But there's a great spoof conspiracy theory called Birds Aren't Real. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Well, yeah, about 5 minutes ago when you first mentioned it before you had to edit all your mistakes.
You're a cunt.
Well, you are what you eat. Leave it. No, Tom, sorry. I haven't heard of birds are drones.
Now I find it's difficult, right? You're making it harder by rolling your eyes at me, you bastard.
I'm worried about. I'm trying to get all this stuff in before my quiz at the end, because I'm a bit worried about it.
Anyway, guys who believe this birds aren't real. Well, the guys who have created this birds aren't real claim that the birds sit on power lines to recharge themselves.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it would. That they poop on cars as a tracking method.
All right. Yeah. So I tell you what, some of the biggies I've had on my car. Mm. Oh, that's tracking. Why they do it straight after you've cleaned it. To be exactly. Like.
Yeah, it's like you've got rid of the tracking.
All right.
Let's put it back there again.
Jeez.
And another thing they claim is that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by the government due to his reluctance to kill all of the birds.
Well, I did hear a lot of pigeons back in the day, you know, we're trying to overthrow the government because they kept going, coo, coo.
Oh, that's very good.
Actually, talking of conspiracy theories, and you just mentioned JFK, there was one that I watched probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It was called The Smoking Gun, and it's on YouTube. It's by this Australian dude, and it was about the JFK assassination, and it actually does make sense. This is where I'm a conspiracy theory nut, and it was, well, have a look on YouTube, listeners, or maybe I'll try and post a link on our Instagram page. Yeah, basically, they had all the same FBI agents, apart from one, because the next day, I think the driver or someone or whatever, it was really hung, or they were all hung over or something like that. And this one guy who wasn't there, the one who was hung over, he was given the gun. But when he tried to move it, it shot forwards and it blew Kennedy's brains out. And so, but anyway, you have to watch it, doesn't it? It kind of makes sense in the fact that all this stuff has been hushed up and everything else. But am I haven't tweeted it or said anything about it, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it like a mole. I'm doing it underground. I'm doing it kind of, you know, just one person at a time.
You sold it to me, Rob.
It's the way I explain stuff. I think is what it is, definitely. You mentioned about celebrities and them going into this thing of, we mentioned Brass Eye. They want to put their name to a lot of things because they want to be on TV. They don't want to lose that kind of touch and stuff. I remember during the COVID thing, the Captain Tom, who walked 100 laps in his garden. I mean, the guy was bored. What else is he going to do? Do you know what I mean? Watch Pointless all day. No. There's only so many episodes Tipping of points. Columbo. And when you get to 99 years old, you've watched them all anyway, right?
Yeah.
There was all this stuff afterwards. That always captured the mood of the nation. Well, my mood at that time was eating a shitload of crisps and watching every episode of Friends. You know, not good. But you had all these celebrities tweeting saying like, oh, he should be, you know, they should put his statue on the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square. You know, they should do this, they should do that. And they're all trying to outdo each other. Fuck it, making the Prime Minister. You know, he couldn't have done any worse job than Boris. But it just seemed all these people, it's almost like, look, we, you know, oh, Amanda Holden has said this, Nick Knowles. And it's like, God, just shut up. You don't, you know, they all kind of felt, I don't know, worthless, because fundamentally, you know, what are celebrities? It's just people who just, I don't know, maybe look nice and but you know, personality wise. I mean, look at the news story currently about the BBC presenter who is meant to be well known or whatever it is, asking that 17-year-old for pictures or to do stuff. I mean, that's going to come out soon who it is, and that's going to be like, blimey. But yeah, that is something separate, I know. And that's just my little rant about bloody famous people or celebrities. I think this day and age, celebrities is, you know, with social media, you know what they've had for breakfast, when they've taken a shit, you know, all these different things with these filters on. Whereas before, I think in the golden age of cinema and, you know, in the 50s and 60s.
They have filters on their shit.
I do, so I can see exactly what I've eaten, you know, and pull out any kind of, like rocks or something like that.
You eat rocks?
I'm on a earthy diet. That's what it is. Just fibre. There's vitamins in the soil, apparently, which I'm not getting enough of, so I thought I'd have some of those.
Antibiotics?
Yeah, and plus, I don't know what I swallow in the night. You know, I might do sleep eating or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you can regulate that, can't you? Your sleep eating.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't get
filters
sleep.
On your poop.
I don't get sleep. No. So yeah, it's conspiracy theories. I just find that, you know, I think from, so I don't know, maybe it's not from social media, the fact that, you know, there are more of conspiracy theories knocking about. It's just that we are hearing more of them because of there is that space for people to have it. It's like dementia, oh, or Alzheimer's. We're seeing these massive amounts of cases. It's like, well, maybe the reporting is just better on it, you know?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier on to you, it's about gatekeeping, isn't it? I mean, conspiracy theories in olden times before the internet and social media, you know, someone might have written their book and released it and 50 people bought it. But now it's like, you know, someone could come up with an idea, a conspiracy theory, and they've got no gatekeepers in social media to say, this guy's a bit of a fraudster or a bit of a strange one, let's just ignore him, you know, let's not review his book or whatever. Yeah. I mean, another way I view conspiracy theories is I look at what's behind them, because, I mean, we've talked so far today with the sort of notion that the people behind them are just average Joes sat behind their computer with an idea and
yeah, let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast, yeah. but I think there's a lot of conspiracy theory, well, the pushing of conspiracy theories that comes from certain ideologies. I mean, you talk about flat earth conspiracy. I wouldn't be surprised if there were some elements in the religious right, Christian right, that pushes that. There are quite a lot of links with the far right ideologies and certain conspiracy theories. You know, these are people who haven't been recognised in the mainstream in media and politics and can't really get a foothold in it, but they've got this opportunity with social media and with the internet to get their ideas and their platform recognised and not have the same scrutiny that they would have if they were trying to go into politics conventionally. I mean, if you look at right-wing politics in the UK, it's like parties have tried to get into mainstream politics and failed miserably. Mm. They never got a foothold, but suddenly there's this opportunity to start spreading misinformation through an arena where no one can really see you and where you've come from, and no one can really pin it down to you that's making the information. And you'll find a lot of people will believe, you know, one or two conspiracy theories and not recognise, you know, the origin of these conspiracy theories comes from something they don't agree in, you know, be it right-wing politics or conservative Christian people in America, you know, stuff about evolution and so forth. So, yeah, I don't know what you think about that, Rob.
Well, no, I mean, I picked up on the thing you said at the beginning. What you just said about we're assuming that these people are ordinary Joes. Mm. And it got me thinking, do you think that there's some form of, I don't know, mental health there in terms of, you know, what leads these people to constantly believe in all these conspiracy theories? What is it that, you know, is it just the fact that these people are gullible or that these people are intelligent, super intelligent, and they, you know, or they have is autism related to this? I don't know. Or is you know, schizophrenia, or, you know, where people look for these things, where, for example, if it's the conspiracy theory that the government, say, is controlling them or watching everything that they do, then everything that they do, they see patterns in, or what? Well, so is that connected? Or?
Yeah, I think so. There are personality traits and characteristics that have been identified as existing in people who go with conspiracy theories, who believe them. It's not a surprising list. It's paranoid and suspicious thinking, eccentricity, low trust in others, a belief that the world is a dangerous place, and seeing meaningful patterns where none exist. All right. So conspiracy theories often emerge during unsettling times, such as wars and recessions and the like,
lockdowns.
Pandemics.
Yeah.
So I think they're a shortcut way for people to understand the world or feel that they've got a special knowledge. And I think that alleviates anxiety. So we're talking about mental health before. It's like an ICU. You know, if someone can say that they recognise what's going on, It sort of quells the existential threat that exists in their mind when bad stuff is happening around them. So I think there's a real pull for, well, a real pull for people to believe conspiracy theories in bad times. What would you say to that?
Well, when you said ICU, I thought, because we obviously were on FaceTime. I see you, but like looking nonplussed, I thought was what you're going to say next. I think, as you say, it's if you're going through a traumatic experience, because I think you could put it down to, I'm going back to like the pandemic, wars, where you don't have that control over it, and where we are creatures of habit. And almost kind of like, the masters of our own destiny and everything else. When these things are suddenly, taken from us, even routine, getting up, going to work, all that stuff. As soon as that is all kind of broken, we feel discombobulated, isn't it? There's that thing. And if that happens over a long period of time, then of course, I think you're right. People will start looking for meaning in things. And as you say, if you're in hospital, then suddenly, you are going to think rationally or irrationally, to almost give yourself the narrative that you want to understand and makes you feel more
and
comfortable.
You see a lot of paranoia that exists in hospitals around patients. That this is all a big conspiracy.
Doctors aren't telling them everything.
Yeah, then it's all this, like, steps into delirium. Where people think that they're on a big spacecraft, and it's the nurses aren't nurses; they're strange aliens and things. You can sort of see the link and how it develops from paranoia and trying to gain control over your situation to something a bit more.
It just reminded me of another conspiracy theory about there is a cure for cancer, but people don't want to use it because there's a lot of money to be made in treating people. It's like, right.
Well, I think that's, again, people believing the world is a dangerous place and low trust in others, isn't it? That's back to that list we went through before. I found a 2008 peer-reviewed study by someone called Whitson and Galinsky. And basically, they found that lacking control in a situation increased a person's likelihood to perceive non-existent patterns, including developing superstitions and believing in conspiracies. I think research bears out what we've been talking about here. I'm going to talk a little bit about the perceiving non-existent patterns because that really interests me. The phenomenon. It has a name. It's called apophenia, and it's a remnant of our evolution.
That's something to do with your skin, isn't it?
No, that's there's lots of things.
Alopecia,
eczema, psoriasis. But it's a remnant of our evolution. So we're sort of through evolution, we're set up to see patterns when maybe they're not there. Because if you think about a simplistic example. If you were the caveman who was paranoid and you jumped at everything you saw as a pattern that could spell danger, you were much more likely to live because, like, 1 out of 100 times, the thing that you thought was danger would be danger, and the chilled out caveman who lived next door to you,
quickly
who just went about his day, who wasn't paranoid, would get eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, whereas you'd be over the hill and running, wouldn't you?
Many that rustling longer. In the bushes. Oh, it's just my wife taking this shit. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see how evolution would select for the animal or the being that saw patterns where maybe patterns didn't exist because they wouldn't be killed by things, and so that would reinforce over years and years and years. And it's something that we do. I mean, we've all looked up at the clouds and seen animals in the clouds, or a face on the moon, or you name it. We see things and patterns where they don't exist. It's a natural human thing to do. I think it's to do with the extremity of how of doing it. If you do it too much, then you're stepping into the realms of schizophrenia and schizoid behavior. If you do it just a little bit, because it's built into your genes and it's normal. So I think when we look at conspiracy theories and the like, I think this is people who are trying to see patterns or seeing patterns that maybe don't exist, being led towards seeing those patterns by people who want something from them. And these are people who do it more excessively than normal people, who just do it when they look up at the cloud and go, well, it looks like a sheep.
It's following me. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sheep's fine. There's another one over there.
I've just buttered my toast, and I see the face of Jeebus.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a question. When I was at university, I stayed... I was on the second floor. My room was 228, right? And then there was a period of time when I would notice when 228 would appear a lot. Yeah. And I'd always look at my watch, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I've looked at my watch when it's like 228. I've looked at it again. But, I mean, I looked at my watch hundreds of times in the day, probably. Well, not that many. Okay. But I didn't...
That's got a name, Rob. It's called confirmation bias. So...
What was I confirming there? I was just like, I just thought my body was getting into a routine of knowing that the internal clock in my body was like, oh, it's 2:28. Look at your watch.
It's about what you notice. So the confirmation bias means you will remember each of the times you saw the 2:28, but it will disregard all of the times you saw other numbers because they didn't fit into the story in your head about the special number. Mm-hmm. So basically, confirmation bias is disregarding information that might disprove a belief while seeking information that supports it.
Do you think I should get the tattoo I've got of 228 in my arm removed? Then it's not special.
Well, you'll see it less often if you do.
Well, I look at it in the mirror. It's 855 or so. I don't know. It looks weird when I look at it in the mirror. I haven't really got a tattoo.
Yeah, that's not going to work, is it? But yeah, there are other kinds of apophenia. So there's one which is pareidolia, which is what we were talking about with seeing faces and shapes of animals in clouds and things. So it's basically visual elements.
Oh, I'm acting upon them? So, because when I see two eyes and a mouth, and I think that's cute, and I'll take a picture of it.
Yeah, that's...
But I see that. But
it's not the acting upon, though. It's just about the phenomenon. The phenomenon of seeing the pattern when it doesn't exist. It doesn't necessarily have to have an action.
So they see it everywhere and all the time, and then that increases their paranoia? Or
no, not necessarily, no. I mean, it is a symptom of schizophrenia. So where you have an illness, this is where you have the illness, this is a symptom that will be present in it. And we all have these tendencies to a certain degree. It's to do with the degree of them. There are other types of apophenia. There's clustering, which is a tendency to find a pattern in a random sequence of data. So, you know, that's, you're not going to do anything crazy with that. It might just be you're a scientist who's
wasted a lot of time,
or has just got a lot of data and finds a pattern when there isn't a pattern. And that could also sort of lead into the confirmation bias.
The MMR vaccine, is it? Where he took...
I think that might be an example of the clustering, but then wonder whether that's someone who had an agenda or whether someone who actually believed what he was saying. And there's another, you know, quite innocent one, but one which makes a lot of people a lot of money, is gambler's fallacy. It doesn't make the gamblers any money, but the gambler's fallacy is fairly straightforward to demonstrate. It's... I can say, okay, I've got a coin here. I've tossed it 10 times, and it's...
No, you haven't. I can't see it. Hypothetically,
yeah. I've tossed it 10 times, and it's come up heads 10 times. Yeah. What's it more likely to come up on the 11th time, heads or tails? And someone who's susceptible to the gambler's fallacy will say tails. They'll believe that it's more likely to land on tails because it's landed on heads 10 times in a row, but in fact it's 50-50 each time,
no matter
what the previous results were. So previous results have no impact on subsequent results. It's all about probabilities. That's gambler's fantasy.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was studying GCSE, I had to read Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead, which are two characters from Hamlet, but it's a book from the 60s written by Tom Stoppard. part, I think it's at the, near the beginning of the story, where one of them keeps flicking a coin, keeps tossing a coin, and it keeps landing on heads or tails, I can't remember. And every time he's like, wow, you know, this is a remarkable... Yeah, one of them is like amazed at how many times it's done, and the other one's like, well, no, because each time is, you know, it's 50-50. And so that keeps going on and on, and then as soon as it does land on the other, the opposite, and breaks that chain, then the scene changes. So I've kind of heard of that before. But yeah, it's interesting, as you say, because I think even if I was, you know, it's almost that thing of you could get caught up in the moment. Say, for example, you're playing blackjack or craps, is it, with the dice, and you kept throwing it and you were getting all the things that you wanted. You think to yourself, right, oh, now I could get big money, bigger money, bigger money. There's that thing of like, oh my God. And you would really take a lot of willpower to a certain degree to go, right, actually, do you know what? No. This is enough. Because it used to be, I mean, I don't know, did you ever used to watch that thing with Deal or No Deal with Noel Edmonds? Yeah. And I remember there was just one guy on there, and I don't know how, I don't think this fits in with any of the things that we're talking about, other than like, this is just bullshit, right? His mum had died or something. This guy was like in his 60s. Some of these people is like, yeah, yeah, I know it all and everything else. He gets to a certain point, the bank offers him 45 grand, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to take it because my mum said, yeah, I'm going to, yeah, this is where I need to go. And, you know, I'll lose it if not, or something or other, which basically his explanation that if I continue on this, whatever it is, this is, I'm going to lose it all, end up with nothing. So I'm going to take this 45 or 22 or whatever it was. Anyway, it turns out that he had like, I don't know, the £250,000 or £100,000 box in front of him and all that stuff. But no one ever picked him up on the fact that, well, hang on, you said, because that's like all that spiritualism and all that crap and all this stuff about, oh, yeah, people are telling me, or you know, you can't influence what the box is. You know, so I'm going to put my hand over the box and it'll tell me, or all that crap. And it got worse by the end of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of superstition there as well, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think a really good example of the odds being king is something that Derren Brown did. He did a show about betting, and he basically took people, a group of people, and he gave them, I think, a fiver, and he told them what bet to make at the bookies, and they would go and make it, they would win. He would tell them the second bet to make, they'd go and do it, and they'd win again. I think basically at the beginning he said, you know, I will make you this amount of money, £250,000 or whatever it was, and I will give you the bets, and you just have to go and place the bets. And he had a group of five people who went and placed these five bets in a row and had a huge amount of money at the end. And they sort of filmed it all, and I think they had their own camcorders or something. And they filmed it, and then they edited it all together. And then at the end of the show, you know, everyone's going, oh, this is magical. How does he know this stuff? At the end of the show, he showed how he did it. And it's as simple as he'd given out sort of 100,000 or whatever the number was, amounts of camcorders to different people. And he'd done this same thing with the bets with all these different people. And the Yeah, and the statistics showed him before he started that by the end of it, he would have five people who'd won five times in a row. And that's all he did. He just used the
But watching it, you just think it was five people chosen. It didn't at the beginning tell you that he chose 100.
Yeah, so they just five people chosen, given the exact right bets because Derren Brown is a genius. But really, he just did the numbers. He just did it with enough people that the odds would mean that five people would win five bets in a row.
Wow. We need to get about 100. We need to get some. We'll get our listeners to do it.
Yeah.
So, if we so if it's a pound for each listener,
yeah,
I think it's 250 each. Tom, we have to put capital into this.
I don't know if I've got it.
Oh,
all right, mate. I've got a quiz for you. I think we should move on.
I'm ready.
So it's a music quiz.
Oh, has your balls stopped hurting?
They've grown.
Yeah, I've been using the wheelbarrow. Twice. I hit mine so hard I had to walk around with a wheelbarrow for about 2 weeks. Excuse me, man with big balls, come with me. Excuse me.
You know, you've got to experience it once in your life, haven't you?
Well, I think you experienced it four times, didn't you?
I did. Okay, so this is the music quiz, and
Music quiz.
And your forfeit is if you get a question wrong, I will curse you.
Curse me, eh? Well, I get used to it, don't I? It's probably shit I ain't heard before. I've heard before, sorry.
No, no, it won't be shit you've heard before.
It's none of it sexual, is it? Because it might turn me on.
I thought you were going to say, what about our younger listeners?
they
might turn you on.
I say if they're about 17, I've got about 35 grand in the bank.
Yeah.
I can pay you that, as long as you don't get crack addicted.
But no one will give a shit, Rob, because you're not in a position of power.
I could end this call now.
It would just be a consensual relationship. It would be beautiful. There wouldn't be any of that lingering anger.
Tom, a relationship with me would not be beautiful.
I'm not going to say anything to that. Before we start, I just want to go and get another cup of tea quickly. Is that okay?
Oh, fuck's sake. How long is this quiz going to be?
Do you not want me to get another cup of tea?
How long is this quiz going to be?
Not that long.
Well, wait then.
Okay. I feel sad now. You don't care, do you? Okay, let's make a tea.
Don't end the call. Don't stop the recording. Make your tea. You've got 2 minutes. I like your sponge. Having a good look in your room, Tom. Last year, you all right? Is that hand lotion on the windowsill by the side of your bed? I hope Tom has an electric kettle, listeners, because if it's a gas stove one, at least we'll hear the whistle. Whistle. I guess whilst we're waiting for Tom, I'll tell you a story very quickly. And when I was younger, I used to date this English teacher. I actually thought my use of a colon was inappropriate. Now then, do we think that Tom has sugar in his tea? What kind of tea is it? Is it like a supermarket own brand tea? Or has he gone Twinings? PG Tips? Tetley? Yorkshire tea? What kind of milk? Skimmed, semi-skimmed, or full fat? I reckon it's green, semi-skimmed. Because Tom strikes me as the kind of semi guy. Always with a semi. I'll put it away, Tom. I can see your nuts. I say, when you walk around your house, you really should wear something on your lower half. It's not nice watching that kind of rantillion.
You love that word, don't you?
I do. I love it.
I thought you would. See it.
Yeah, so how do you like your tea, Tom? What tea bags do you use?
What have I got at the minute? I don't know. It's in a tea caddy thing, so... It's been filled up. Probably Yorkshire tea.
Oh, that was one of the ones I said. And what kind of milk do you put in there? What kind of milk do you have?
I have semi-skimmed milk.
Is that the green one? Semi.
The green one, yes.
Oh, I told you, listeners. Tom has a semi.
Yes.
And sugar or no sugar?
No sugar.
Sweet enough. Yeah. All right, then, let's get on with this quiz. Come on. I've got things I need to get on with, like scratch my ass.
Yeah. So do I. I've got an ass to scratch as well.
Oh, no. So I'm wearing a white T-shirt, drinking black coffee. I used an AeroPress to make my coffee, if you're interested.
I'm not interested.
And when I saw it, I thought it was to do with like putting chocolate bars in it to squeeze it through. But no.
You're just on another galaxy, aren't you?
Oh, you shitbag. Yours is funnier than mine. Come on then. Music quiz, you say.
Yes.
And you will curse me if I get it wrong.
Yes.
I'll curse myself if I get it wrong, because they're easy questions.
So question one. Mm-hmm. What were Paul McCartney and John Lennon's middle names?
Paul James McCartney and John Winston Lennon.
No, you're wrong. Wow. Paul was Paul McCartney's middle name. He was James Paul McCartney. And John Lennon's first middle name was Winston, but he changed it to Ono.
Oh, no. You better curse me then, Tom.
Bad cess on you. Devil take you. May you never prosper. The first drop of water to quench your thirst, may it boil in your bowels. May the flesh rot off your bones and fall away putrid before your eyes. May your limbs wither and stench. May your limbs wither and the stench of your rotten carcass be too horrible for hungry dogs. May you fade into nothing, like snow in summer. May you be accursed in the sight of God and hated by your fellow man. May you die without a priest. This I pray.
Yeah, you sound like my dad. No, I only got their middle names wrong. Bloody hell, that was a bit strong. Next.
Number two. How old was David Bowie? How old was David Bowie when he died?
69.
Wrong. He was 69 in 2 days.
Oh, piss off.
He died 2 days after the release of Black Star, which was released on his 69th birthday.
Oh, I see. All right.
This one is a Roman curse. The human who got question two wrong, who deprived us of a correct answer, may he be bereft of his mind and memory. May worms and maggots penetrate his hands, head, feet, as well as his limbs and marrow.
Well, as long as you leave my dick alone, I'm all right.
That's a worm already. Right.
Eel.
Question three. The Wikipedia page, Musicians Killed in Aviation Accidents or Incidents, has three entries under the letter V. Name all three.
V?
V.
Ricky Valance?
Yes.
Bobby V? No.
You're not. No.
Right, V.
One more chance to get it right.
I can't think of anyone. No.
Ronnie Van Sant.
Who?
And he's the one from Leonard Skinner.
All right.
And Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, I didn't know Stevie Ray Vaughan died in a plane accident.
Well, it said plane accident or incident, so he might have been stabbed by someone on a plane. I don't
know. Or had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Because could you say Carrie Fisher? Because she had a heart attack. On a...
Doesn't begin with V, though, does it?
I know that, but she was all coked up, weren't she? That's why she had a heart attack. Don't do it in your 60s. Christ, I just don't do it at all. Silly.
Don't do it at all, yes.
Who was the guy who did the song Leaving on a Jet Plane?
I don't know.
John Denver. I think he died on a plane crash, ironically.
That would be ironic.
I bet he thought that when he was going down. He's like...
Getting a bit
isn't that ironic by... Alanis. Yeah. Come on then, curse me.
May your Scoville scale effluent sting mightily as it departs your bowel, spattering trouser leg and pooling at your feet, whilst you cry to the gathering onlookers, it was but a fart.
I think I might have had something like that once. That's when they just released the alcoholic ginger beer. And I went, oh, this is nice. And I drank loads of them. And the next day, I think I was a bit overconfident on a fart. So that could have well happened to me.
Was it Scoville scale effluent, though?
What is Scoville scale?
That's how you rate the spiciness of chilies.
Oh, is it? Oh, I was thinking about Bristol.
No. No, that's the out of Bristol stool scale, yeah. Bristol stool scale, if I speak properly.
There's nothing stool about that, I tell you. There's nothing sturdy.
That's why it would sting you if it was hot.
Oh, well, it was like... like Muhammad Ali, it floated like a butterfly and stung like a bee.
All right, moving on. Question 4. In what year did Elton John come out to the world?
I'll piss off. Now, this is either that he's a homosexual man or that when he was born. So I'm going to say... come out to the world, 1948.
No. So he said he was attracted to men and women in a 1976 Rolling Stone article, right. But he came out as gay in 1988 in the same publication, saying he thought everyone knew he was gay.
Okay, well... there you go. I got the question kind of wrong because I thought you might be trying to trick me.
Well, it was a little bit tricky.
Yeah. All right. If I'd have said 1988, you'd have said, "Oh no, he was born in." Mm-hmm. Bastard.
May your genitals be stripped like carrion by craven birds to feed their fledglings by regurgitation.
You know, normally I have to pay £80 for someone to do that. Whilst I'm chained to a radiator in a basement.
You're being very calm about being cursed, Rob.
Oh, do you know what? I'm used to it. I've had a lifetime of it.
That's why your life has been so unfulfilled and rotten.
That's why I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah.
To try to right all those wrongs.
Okay, number 5. Who headlined the first Glastonbury Festival in 1970?
Mark Bolan and T-Rex.
No, it was T-Rex. They were Tyrannosaurus Rex at the time.
Me.
Rather than T-Rex.
Oh, you are.
After the Kinks pulled out.
Pulled out of what? Who?
Pulled out of who?
It's a good way not to have bebbers. On other bubbers.
It reminds me, yeah, World Newsflash, World Religious Contraception Conference. Catholics pull out at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Right. May every time you offer help just to be nice, the person accepts and you must toil. May your trash bags always leak vile bin juice when taking them outside. May a drop of milk always run down your chin when you take a spoonful of cereal. May all of your teeth fall out except one, so you may still have toothache. May all of your child's artwork be finished with glitter.
Ooh, glitter.
Take that, bitch.
I will. I'm going to take that on the chin.
What, the glitter?
No, your bowl sank.
Yeah, your bowl sank.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll see you next time. We'll be back.